I'm Sarah Ailey. I'm from Rush University, and I am in the Department of Community Systems and Mental Health Nursing. And I'm going to talk about developing a social problem-solving training program with the input of adults with intellectual disabilities and with their staff. And let's see. I don't have any relationships to disclose. So the purpose of this study was, the purpose of this presentation, rather, is to discuss the experience of involving adults with intellectual disabilities and their staff in modifying and tailoring an evidence-based social problem-solving program so that it's acceptable and useful to them. We're going to discuss the use of cognitive interviews among this group, and we'll discuss the overall processes of tailoring the social problem-solving program. So, just a little background. Intellectual disability, which used to be called mental retardation. So, intellectual disability is the politically correct term right now. And the self-advocates in that community have really advocated for that. So, it affects about 1 to 3% of the population. Over 500,000 currently live, it's actually up around 530,000 now, I just looked it up, live in community residential facilities. This is an increase of about 30% over the last 20 years. And certainly the number is expected to grow with the aging and deaths of family caregivers. And about 75% of those living in residential facilities would live in small group homes. So this group already has, you know, a high rate of we call aggressive challenging behaviors. It's about 45 to 60% overall. But the rates are higher in group homes. It's the major reason for aggressive challenge. Psychiatric hospitalizations are the most common hospitalization for this group, with the aggressive challenging behaviors being the major reason, and it's also the major reason for psychoactive drugs. And with, this is what the official statistics are, 20 to 50%. I would actually, from my personal experience, it's probably closer to 80 to 90% of people in those homes are going to be on some kind of psychoactive drug. It's most common reason, it certainly has serious consequences in people being, if they have them, they may lose their residential services, they might get moved to more restrictive environments, they certainly can be arrested. Actually, it's about 4% of the prison population with these kinds of behaviors being a major reason for imprisonment. Public health problem. So, I'm going the wrong way. So in group homes, residents will be brought together. They're not usually known to each other before they get there. Staff in these homes are required to have a high school education, and they receive typically 6 weeks of didactic training and 6 weeks of on-the-job training. You should know that they're also the ones who pass the medications in the homes. Aggressive challenging behaviors can create dynamics in the homes that increase problems. The staff often will report they don't know how to respond and their fear may affect how they react. They might reinforce behaviors with the attention, and both of the groups are ill-equipped to ward off this kind of behavior. So social problem solving would be the cognitive and behavioral activities that you use to understand problems and cope with or find solutions. And in evidence-based social problem solving, it looks at two orientations, which would be positive or negative, and there are three styles: impulsive, careless, avoidant, and rational. And certain tools that might be used in evidence-based problem solving would be you would learn to externalize the problem so you can look at it. The need to stop and slow down so you don't, particularly with this group, you don't engage in the impulsive, aggressive behaviors. Think and act, and a rational style, which would be, you know, you define your problem, you come up with alternatives, you predict what might happen with the different alternatives, you learn to try those alternatives out. And actually, with this group, in previous research, social problem-solving training has been shown to have some effect on behaviors. And in a couple of studies, an independent factor was whether they were accompanied to the training by staff, but no one's ever really looked at the staff. So the purpose of this was we wanted to modify and tailor an existing research-based social problem-solving training program. It was based on the work of DiCirillo and Nezu, and to implement it in a natural support setting of the group home.
with the persons with ID and their residential staff together. So what I'm reporting on here is work that was preliminary to delivering the program. So we went through varying phases. One, we got input from supervisory staff who would be responsible for behavior programs for individuals with intellectual disabilities. We did cognitive interviews with the individuals and with their residential staff, and then we piloted the program in two group homes. So we took an initial draft of the program, and myself, I had been involved previously with developing health education, health promotion materials for this group. So we made an initial draft, and we thought it was simple enough, but it really wasn't. It's way different than what we started with. And we met with supervisory staff. So we met with six different staff from four agencies. Their recommendations were they wanted the language to be simpler, to make sure sessions lasted about an hour. That's what they felt was kind of the attention limit. Using interactive materials on a group approach. And as far as they were concerned, there were four big issues. Knowing whether the problems are big or little, they wished that people could sort that out. Of course, we need to sort that out too. Knowing when you have a problem, that's also pretty universal. Knowing what their triggers are, specifically for the aggressive and impulsive behaviors, and to really work on stopping and slowing down. So cognitive interviews looks at how specific groups would understand, process, and respond to information. We would particularly have emphasis on identifying potential breakdowns in the process. And for us, we were really looking at what things were understandable or more understandable, less understandable. It's been used mostly for instrument design, but also used in the development of educational materials. And you would use verbal probing techniques, particularly around comprehension and interpretation. One of the things you ask is, can you explain this in your own words? You're looking at issues of confidence in working with the material and for retention. And we used, to analyze our cognitive interviews, we did a cross-case analysis matrix. So we used the core concepts of social problem solving, that's the attitude, and the concepts about rational problem solving, which would be define, alternatives, predict, and try out. And in Dr. Nazu's program, the program is called ADAPT, so attitude, define, alternatives, predict, and try out. And then we looked at the source, either the individuals with ID and the residential staff, and the verbal probing issues were displayed. And we tried to focus on where people didn't understand the material and also on what things were easier or more difficult to understand, and trying to get alternative examples and strategies for promoting understanding of the material. And this is it. This is... So, the concept of positive attitude, that was one that was relatively easier. Own words were things like step up, face it, fix it. Concept of impulsive behavior, their own words were acting out. And this group actually, you know, they're pretty well taught to do. Most people can tell you you're supposed to deep breathe. You know, you should go to your quiet place. You should listen to music or whatever helps you to cope. We tried to talk about the concept of do you know your own trigger? So like for me, if my motor starts racing because somebody's breaking in the driving, I know that's time to take a deep breath. But trying to get them to understand maybe what might be their own triggers. And avoidance style, that was not so easy. They did say things like problems won't go away. We did find that some of the pictures, like we had a picture of a screaming frog, that was pretty popular. They would go, yeah, that's how I feel. So that's what I do. Or throwing things. We had a picture of someone throwing something. That was, you know, that got the reaction, yeah, that's me when I act out. Rational style, own words for define were break it down. The alternatives, the word for brainstorming was not that was a difficult concept. We kind of explained it. They could get some of the pictures in the manual that we already had were useful. And we did things, once they kind of got the idea, like we had a discussion, one person said he wanted to quit smoking, and then people gave suggestions about how you could go about that. So they did get the idea of coming up with some brainstorming. And then a common issue there, you know, because there's seven or eight people in one home, and who's going to watch television at what, you know, what shows are going to go on in the main room. Sorting that out, people could give suggestions. So they were able to come up with alternatives. So we also talked about the, you know, how, a couple of things in predicting. One would be, how would you feel if you handle a problem well or not well? Some of the pictures that we had were useful. One person said if he handled problems well, he felt like a better man. If they didn't handle things well and they acted out, they might feel sad or depressed. And then things that might happen, they were familiar with it. Hospitalization, loss of privileges. Not so much positive consequences for handling well. They knew the negative consequences. I had a nursing master's student went with me to one of the sessions at the group home. I think she was shocked. People got into a discussion about different psych hospitals and comparison of the food, the staff. And there was like everybody, all of them had been in. She was rather appalled. This group had so much experience with the psych units. So now I know which ones had the better food. So, but the consequent, you know, the issue of handling well actually was a little that, you know, you might get more privileges or have better, so on. Not quite as much. So our conclusion, one of the conclusions, we started out with a manual that was meant for facilitators with materials for the participants. We switched that to, we made the manual for the participants with extra materials for the facilitators. So that it's really meant to be aimed at the people with intellectual disabilities and their staff. And again, it helped us to simplify the concepts to those that were grasped by the participants and to figure out which concepts were a little more difficult, which might require more examples. Helped us with some alternatives, examples and words. And then certainly with multiple methods, particularly to reinforce the more difficult concepts. So, between the pictures in the manual, the talk, some other games we played, and so forth. So then we met with the residential staff. They noted that they are seen as authority figures, but part of their role is also to facilitate independence. And they suggested that they like the program being done in this way with them as a group. And they expressed confidence in working with materials. We did run this in two group homes, one male, one female. It gave us more information on tailoring the program, one on the length of it. We started with six modules, and we had one booster. Really, at the sixth session, participation dropped off, so we're doing like five sessions in one booster. They came up particularly with problems for the group as a whole and other individual problems, so it was pretty clear there were a couple of different categories of problems. And they were able to give examples of impulsive, avoidant, and rational problem-solving behaviors. And then we actually went back to some of the our original people with cognitive interviews and discussed some of the changes with them. The concept of avoidant behaviors is not so clear with them, but certainly the impulsive people are used to that. So our discussions that this group could participate in tailoring health programs for themselves. The cognitive interviews were useful for obtaining input. The matrix that we developed did give us some structure to analyze what the input was. It also gave us some materials that we could use in a pilot program, and we certainly got further input from the pilot. And this would add to the research on ways vulnerable populations can provide input on health programs for themselves. And our next step is to develop a clinical trial of the program. So there were a very small number of people involved in the cognitive interviews in the pilot. They were all from the same agencies in the same geographic area. So that's a limitation. Thank you.